I want to share tonight mainly about embassies of heaven, and some people call them cities of refuge, but I want to share some background to that in terms of my encounters that have opened up my heart to see those things established. You know, in terms of when you go into heaven, there is a relational purpose for that and an intimacy purpose, but there's also a legislative, governmental responsibility that you have as sons. In 2013, 2014, I was on New Year's Eve. We always gather together on New Year's Eve just to engage in heaven, and I usually get lots of downloads. And I was having an encounter where I was taken out into the solar system, and I was seeing the world. Yeah, and I saw the world spinning, and it was going round, and I was looking at it thinking, whoa. And then it started to stop, and it stopped spinning. And I saw lights, little arcs of lights, three little lights joining together all over the planet, starting to come. And then the planet started spinning back around the other way. And from that, God really put in my heart to help people establish government from heaven to earth. Benches of three, heavenly government, established with mandates and blueprints, things that are visions from heaven to establish heaven onto the earth. So it really touched my heart in a deep way and changed my whole perspective about engaging people around the world. And I don't think if I'd encountered that experience, I would probably be here, because it totally changed my desire to encourage and help people around the world establish what God wants in their area, in their region, their city, because God wants his government on the earth so that heaven can be on the earth manifesting in that way. God wants to see those blueprints for embassies or cities of refuge, different names for them, on the earth, so that we can be ready for what's coming. It's important that we don't try and make earthly blueprints and come up with good ideas. We need heavenly blueprints, which give us the architect's plan, and God is the architect. We're just the ones who establish and build according to his plan. So it's really important we get hold of his plan. And God called me to develop relationships with like-minded people around the world, which is really great to meet like-minded people here. Yeah, because so often we can feel isolated and on our own. I mean, I'm in a privileged position because I have a whole church who's doing this stuff, and we've been doing this on a journey for the last 5 or 6 years. So, you know, I have people to bounce things off. I can talk to people. You know, we have engagement in heaven. You know, people bring stuff all the time, what they're seeing. So it's in a sense a privileged position, but I realize out in the world there's lots of people who do feel on their own. You know, and I feel part of what God has called me to do is to try and connect those people so that they can form relationships of support and encouragement to encourage each other to keep going and to begin to outwork God's purposes, you know, on the earth. When you come into agreement, when you have heavenly government, then things can start to change and the earth begins to align itself. Which is why I started the Engage in God program. The whole thing was just to help people go, you know, and in a sense, is to help disciple people to disciple people to disciple people. You know, because you can't be someone who's discipled someone until the person you're discipled disciples somebody else. Otherwise, they're just someone you're passing stuff on to. If they don't pass it on, then you're not really discipling them. Because the whole thing is about continually multiplying what God's doing. So in our meeting, 3 days after Bob Jones, who was known as a prophet who'd engaged heaven, who had angelic encounters all his life, he turned up in our meeting 3 days after he died on a Sunday morning. He stood there with a scroll, a fiery scroll, as one of the cloud of witnesses, and I really was quite taken by the fact that he was standing there. I was a bit surprised. And I realized that actually he turned up in a number of places that day, having been free from the constraints of the earth, and now he was free to engage all over the place. And he brought this scroll, and you know, I knew this was a scroll for the harvest. I mean, he prophesied in 1975 on August the 8th, there would be a harvest of 1 billion people around the world. And for the whole generation, fortunately, they missed that and didn't really receive what he was trying to say, was like, get ready for the harvest. Don't try and make the harvest, create the harvest, get ready for it. Be ready to receive it, disciple, mentor, equip, so that you can prepare that harvest for their inheritance. And a week later, Jesus came, and he stood in our meeting, and he came, and he had a scroll, and I went and accepted the scroll, and he basically, the scroll was for the Joshua generation. Because without the Joshua generation, who are forerunners and spies of the promised land, who then bring the next generation in, the harvest will have no one to mentor it.
Yeah.
And that's what the last generation, 40 years, should have been, raising up a generation of mentors who would receive their inheritance, and then we're going to bring the next generation into their inheritance. So I received that. We received it as a ministry, so it's something really dear to my heart. In 2014-15, when I was New Year's Eve, and I was engaging in heaven, I went into the temple. The temple we went into this afternoon with the burning altar and stuff, and the seraphim were there. And they were looking really right at me. And I was quite freaked out by it. I mean, I was just like, why are you looking at me? You know, I'm looking at Jesus. You know, I don't tend to focus on what's going on with the angels. I really just fix my eyes on Jesus. But I was so caught with the fact that they were boring their eyes into me, eyes of fire, that I sort of looked around. And I started to look around and I started to see sort of interdimensional maps and places where there were portals, places where heaven was open. And I saw some maps which were maps of the world, but from God's perspective. And I saw the map of the U.S., and I saw this bow and arrow, this golden bow, and it had these arrows, golden arrows, and attached to them were red cords. So I just picked it up as I felt this is what the seraphim were looking at me for, as if I should know what I was supposed to do, you know. So I was, well, okay, I'm going to do it. So I just fired these arrows. Initially, I fired them into the U.S. and then some other parts of the world. And I was told that this pattern that formed when I fired these arrows would be something that will be replicated around the earth from a way of establishing God's government on the earth so that it could be outworked. And so this was the picture that I saw. And I saw that these arrows had fired into the northwest and the northeast and the southeast and the southwest. And they connected, and people, I felt God was saying that he wants to establish the four corners of government, and then he wants to connect those to each other, and then he wants to see corridors established between them so that the government of heaven would be established on the earth with benches of three, taking responsibility for each of those areas. And then you see each of those areas forms a triangle or a quadrant which needs to have government in it. And he said establish the perimeter so then he could then begin to fill. And so I looked at that and thought, well, that's really good, but what am I supposed to do with that? You know, it's like I didn't really think that I had anything to do with it other than I was going to pray into it or minister into it or legislate into it. But then people started to ask me to come to those places and to engage with them. And, you know, I went, you know, into the Northwest last year, and it was, you know, such a profitable time of just helping them establish government. And now I hear testimonies of what they're doing, and I listen to their testimonies, and I hang out with them every month. And I'm just so blessed that, in a sense, you know, all I did was just go away and give them some encouragement. You know, they took it, they begin to engage heaven, and they started to produce those things all over the area. And I believe God wants to do that in this area in the Southwest, both in the individual areas within the Southwest, but in the Southwest as a region itself, and then to begin to connect the Southwest with the Northwest and the Southwest with the Southeast, so they really start to see God's government formed. And along those corridors and those perimeters, God wants to establish his embassies of heaven on the earth. And that was my desire, to see those things formed. And last year I was at a conference with Ian Clayton. It was in Wales, which is not that far away from me. So I went up there for the day, and I was started with worship in the morning, and I was lost in the worship. And all of a sudden I saw Joshua and Joseph, and they came and stood on my left and my right. And then Daniel and Enoch. Enoch behind, Daniel in front. And this was a real encounter. I mean, sometimes you have visions and sometimes you have impressions, but this was like, this was full on, and it was like an intense experience. And then they held up my hands, you know, and strengthened me. I mean, I felt strengthened. I literally felt strength getting in my body, because these are the cloud of witnesses that are surrounding us, according to Hebrews 12, that have an investment into us fulfilling their mandates. Because most people on the earth and in heaven never fulfilled the fullness. So they wanted to pass it to the next generation, and mostly the next generation never received it because they held it to themselves. And you always get the last move of God keeping it to themselves and not passing it on to the next. And then sometimes opposing what comes next. So yeah, this was a really intense thing. And I felt it was symbolic of heaven's gates were open. There was this overlapping starting to take place where heaven and earth were coming into alignment. And the whole cloud of witnesses and those men in white linen have started to take a more active role because they're starting to see the beginning of the promise. And you know, we need to cooperate with them. And we need to come into agreement because God is sending them. So I was really blessed by that. And then it suddenly struck me that these four were not just random people who turned up. They had a function in turning up. And I understood Joshua was very dear to my heart because, you know, God has called me to help establish a Joshua generation. Joshua was one who was a forerunner, and he went before and he gave a good report and that sort of stuff. And then there was Joseph. So I really started to ask, you know, can you give me some insight into what you want me to share from this? Because I want to know, you know, what is the significance of your engaging? So I felt that each of these four is a representation of who we should be, and they carry a particular emphasis. So the Joshua generation, they have a different spirit. You know, Joshua and Caleb had a different spirit. They believed and they responded. You know, the others didn't believe and they didn't respond and they died in the wilderness. So Joshua generation are giant slayers. You know, and there's plenty of giants around. You know, some of them are religious giants. You know, and they try and restrict and intimidate and bring fear and stop us coming into the fullness of God's purpose for us.
Yeah.
You know, so we must be willing to take on the giants. And we know that we have the sword of the Spirit, the truth, to set us people free and to bring us into the land. So the Joshua generation, in Joshua and Caleb, they went into the land, they saw the wonderful promises that God had given to his people, and they encouraged the people to take possession of their inheritance.
Yeah.
And the 10 other spies who went into the land gave a bad report, but they gave a good report. And they encouraged the people. The people rejected their good report. And don't be disappointed if people reject everything you say sometimes, because it's only some who are going to listen. But those who do listen are the ones who will respond, and those ones who respond will come in and receive their inheritance. So the Joshua generation, who have spied out the land, were then the next generation who went in. And they brought all those who were under the age of 20 in with them. So by the time they went in, there were people who were 59 downwards to zero, plus all the ladies who were able to go in. Which means we're not looking for a harvest of young people, we're looking for a harvest of every people from every age, unlimited by age. So you may feel they're getting a bit on in years. It should not hinder you. Joshua and Caleb were in their 80s. And Caleb said, I'm still just as young, you know, and I'm going in and out to war. And what Caleb said was, give me the high ground, I'll take the giants. You know, no matter what age he was, he knew his authority as a son of God, and he went and took possession, and they helped the whole land receive God's promises as he brought to Moses.
Yeah.
And they received it. So then we have the Enoch generation. Well, we know Enoch walked with God. And Enoch is a sort of, he's not mentioned a lot in the Bible. He's mentioned, you know, in the Old Testament. He's mentioned in Jude. But there's a book about him that is quite interesting, you know. And when I met Enoch in the realm of heaven, and he talked to me about walking with God, and Genesis 5:24, Enoch walked with God. Now, when we mean walk with God, we don't mean God walks alongside us on the earth. It means we can walk where God is. Well, where's God? Well, God's in the heavens. God's inside of us. God's around us. So everywhere we can walk with God. Don't limit it to, well, God never promised, he promises never to leave me or forsake me, so I know he's here somewhere. You know, we need to encounter him in reality, not just sort of think he might be around as some sort of impression. He wants you to meet him, and he wants you to engage with him, and he wants to walk with you, and he wants you to walk with him. And that's what Enoch did, and so many others did the same. So whenever you see someone walking with God, don't imagine that they're just trotting along somewhere on the earth, you know, hand in hand or whatever. You know, this is a sign that they were walking together in the full realms of heaven and earth. And so when I met Enoch, he encouraged me to read his book. you know, and I did read it. Some of it was really interesting. Some of it was hard slog, I must admit. You know, so I thought it would be really rude if I see him again. I haven't read it. I'll be really embarrassed. So I sort of had a read through of it. But I realized that Enoch did things before the flood, which in that walking with God, he walked in the realms of heaven. He walked in the realms of eternity. He walked in things that we are now called to walk in. So if we're going to be the Enoch generation, we must be those who walk in the realms of heaven. We can't just be those who walk on the earth. Because Enoch came to say, this realm is open to you. Be a generation who walks with God. You know? So, I mean, when I've met Enoch, you know, I'm a bit reticent to meet him recently because he keeps giving me these quests. You know, and it's like, you know, I mean, I'm into Lord of the Rings and all that sort of stuff. I mean, it's like a quest. It's a challenge, it's an adventure, you know, the Fellowship of the Ring. You know, trouble is I'm on my own for all the quests he gives me. You know, it's not so much fun. You know, and he gave me a quest once and he said, basically, I want to give you a quest. You need to remove people's masks. So I think, oh, thanks a lot. Well, that's a really interesting quest, that one. But, you know, first he said, you have to remove yours. So that's why in going through the dark cloud, whole thing dealing with my soul, it was removing my mask so I could actually be who I am, who God created me to be, rather than the image that I've created for myself. So I had to remove my mask. But then it was like all of a sudden then I give them responsibility to try and help other people remove their masks. Well, that's great when people want to. Not so good when they resist. So I went through a whole period of helping people to transform by being real. You can never be transformed if you don't accept and own where you are so you can become something different. You know, and it was quite an interesting couple of years, you know, because all of a sudden I was sort of like challenging people in a nice way because I'm really nice. You know, I'm not confrontational, really, unless I have to be. But generally, it was just like that was a quest. Yeah, and then I did that and it was just like, and he said, yeah, now I've rewarded you. I said, oh, thank you. What is it? Oh, another quest. Thank you very much. And this time it was like, take the mask off the church governmental system to expose the truth. Wow. Ooh. So I've been working at that one for the last 3 years, behind the scenes, legislating in heaven to see an exposing of those systems which cover men and stop people getting to heaven for themselves.
Yes.
You know, all the mediatorial old covenant systems that mostly are mountains, top-down government, which is not heaven's government.
Yeah.
You know, heaven's government is bottom-up. Foundations to release people to be able to go and hear God for themselves. So, you know, religious systems do not like to be exposed.
Yeah.
They don't like to recognize, and there's been a lot of shaking going on, bringing things into the light, which have been in darkness, and there's going to be a lot more, I tell you. A lot of the systems of government are going to become exposed, where people have built mountains for themselves and their own ministries and egos, and God is going to remove it. You know, be prepared for that over the next few years. So there's a Daniel generation. Daniel 12:4, as for you, Daniel, conceal these words, seal up the book until the end of time. Many will go back and forth and knowledge will increase. Well, I think that describes today really well. You know, we're always going back and forth in the heavens, in the atmosphere, via the internet, via airplanes and everything else. And actually knowledge has increased. I mean, all sorts of knowledge has increased, but the knowledge and revelation of what Daniel once had concealed is now open. And that's the thing. We live in a day where Daniel saw into our day and he sealed up the books and now they're open. We're in a generation where the books are open, which is why this revelation of engaging heaven and coming into sonship and coming into the fullness of our co-heirship in the kingdom is being released and revealed. So now it's our responsibility to use that revelation and embrace our destiny and embrace who we are and our inheritance and outwork it. There's no excuse anymore. You know, the revelation has been released. It's out there. Some people don't want to listen to it and they don't want to receive it, but it's there and now everyone's responsible. It's just like Joshua and Caleb. They came and they brought a good report. The books are open, giving a good report and an invitation to come into more than we can ever imagine or thought before. I mean, the last 5 years to me has been, you know, I think the last year probably was better than the last 4 years and then the last 4 years. I mean, 5 years I've learned more than I did in the last 40.
Yeah.
Because revelation is available for us so we can receive it and become that generation that sees it fulfilled. So that was that. And then there's Joseph. Now, this has really touched my heart, because when I engaged with Joseph, I never met Joseph before. When he came and held on my hand, I really, really felt something. And I felt his heart, and I felt something stir me. Genesis 41:14, Pharaoh sent and called for Joseph. They hurriedly brought him out of the dungeon when he had shaved himself and changed his clothes. So there are a whole lot of us who've been pretty much hidden in the dungeons. No one really knows what we've done and what we're doing. And the world really doesn't really recognize anything for most of us. And we're really seeing that Joseph would have been prepared, who had a vision all his life. He might not have been quite as wise as he should have been when he shared that vision when he was a young lad. But he had that vision, which ended up in being thrown in a pit and sold into slavery and ends up in Egypt. And then he gets falsely accused. Anyone sort of feel a little bit there? You've been there, done that. You know, it's like we've probably been there. And it's like God is now saying, come out of the dungeon. And he's giving us a new change of clothes. He's cleaning us up. He's giving us a new image. And it's a heavenly image. You know, and it's like God so desires to bring us out of where we've been in obscurity and bring us out into something which is a kingdom role. Now, what happened to Joseph? Verse 38, Pharaoh said to his servants, can we find a man like this in whom is a divine spirit? Well, actually, I'm looking at a whole load of them.
Yes.
Because you carry the Spirit of God in you. You have the divine Spirit of God. You are sons of God. So the answer is yes. So then Pharaoh said to Joseph, since God has informed you of all this, there is no one so discerning and wise as you are. You shall be over my house. Now God is saying, if you are willing to come out of the dungeon and take your place, you can start to rule over his house and bring the kingdom and the government of heaven into the earth. And this is what Joseph did. He came out of that obscurity. He had always used his gift to bless other people. You know, he was in Potiphar's house and he served in that house. Then he was accused, thrown into prison. Even in prison, he interpreted dreams. They forgot what he did, you know, and what did he do? Next time he didn't say, oh, last time I told a dream, no one remembered it, I'm not doing it again. It's like he had a good attitude. You know, some of us probably might not have had such a good attitude, I don't know. But he had a good attitude and he gave that dream, and that dream unlocked what God's purpose for him was. And he was brought out, and this is what happened. He became second in command in the whole of Egypt, and he had the vision of the seven good years and the seven lean years. That's what he interpreted Pharaoh's dream. And what did he do? He had the wisdom to set up storehouses. And when the harvest of those seven good years came in, he took 20% of the harvest and put it in the storehouses. And then the whole of the world, it says, came because there was a famine and they had food. And even including his brothers and his father who had rejected him in government, and they actually did bow down to him. Yeah. Now, he didn't lord it over them. He didn't have an attitude which says, you know, I told you so. He loved them. You know, he demonstrated love and he blessed them. And God is wanting us to establish storehouses, places where the harvest will come, and the whole world will then start to come to those storehouses, to the mountain of the house of the Lord, to receive, because the world will be in lack. Whichever way you look at it, and you can look at it in a multitude of ways, things in the world are not going to be as easy for people as they are now. Therefore, we have to have the storehouses who receive a harvest, equip and train a harvest, and are then ready to demonstrate what heaven is like on the earth, living under a whole new system of government. So all of us, I believe, are being called to administrate new wineskins, a new wineskin for new ecclesias. And I don't like using the word church anymore because it carries such a negative connotation. Yes. The word is not a biblical word. Because it's an Anglo-Saxon English word.
Yeah.
And actually it doesn't mean what Ecclesia meant or Kahal meant in the whole Old Covenant. It's a totally different concept. Because it got turned into buildings.
Yeah.
We're going to church. How can you go to church when you are church?
Yeah.
You know, and we did that. And then it became meetings. Oh, the church is meeting. Mm-hmm. And it all became meeting orientated and meeting focused. Where God is actually saying it's about people gathered together, one heart, one mind, one purpose around a heavenly vision blueprint to establish the kingdom on earth as it is in heaven.
Yes, Lord.
So we need new wineskins. Yes, old rigid wineskins will not take what God wants to pour out. So we're called to establish embassies of heaven on the earth that represent heaven's interest on the earth and establish heavenly territory on the earth. And that's what Joseph did, and that's what why we need to be like the Joseph generation, who established those things on earth as it is in heaven. And sometime, I can't remember, it was last year sometime, I stepped into the four faces of God in worship when I was engaged in worship, and I was just lost in worship, stepped into the four faces of God, and immediately there were two scrolls, fiery scrolls in each hand. And I'm in there, and what happened was I got translated, and these were the same two scrolls that I received before, Joshua generation harvest of those harvesters, because that initial billionfold harvest is just the laborers for the harvest field. It's not the harvest, it's the laborers, which is why those laborers have to be supernaturally trained and equipped to go and take the message out and spread and expand the kingdom to fill the earth, which is what's going to take place. And I was standing there, and immediately I got translated simultaneously to stand before every governmental building and palace around the whole earth.
Wow.
I mean, I don't know if you've ever seen that film, Multiplicity. It's like I've just felt completely everywhere all at the same time. I mean, it was such a strange experience. But I stood there before all these governmental places around the world, and I started to call and declare the establishment of Joshua generation and cities of refuge in every nation, in every place, all over the world. And it was, I mean, again, it's one of those experiences you don't forget, you know, and it gave me a heart to see this happen even more. You know, I've had a passion for this, but this really, really confirmed it, because I stood in those nations and I sensed the lack of government there, and I sense the lack of anyone who was really calling out for this stuff. And I believe what I spoke, you know, is still vibrating in every nation. Because that's what happens when you speak. The voice of God is still vibrating from creation. It's what holds everything together.
Yeah.
So, you know, in light of that, you know, it stirred me to do something. So, you know, I've started then to begin to legislate things into those things. So, beginning of this year, God said to me, will you give me time to legislate every day? No. I said, yeah, sure. You know, so it's like, well, what do you want me to legislate? So I went to different courts, found out some mandates. God said to me this, I've opened up a new season of legislative authority. I present to you a new mantle carrying the authority to administrate legislation. Well, that really stirred me to start administrating legislation. So I started engaging people all over the world to help them legislate. So for me, I have to pass everything on. That's what discipleship is. That's what multiplying is. I'm not going to keep it to myself. So everything I learn to do, I try and help others to learn to do what they're supposed to do. You know, not necessarily the same thing, but with the same authority that they carry. So literally, it was to open hearts and minds to bring people into their heavenly positions. That's what God told me to legislate. So I've been calling and administrating in heaven, because we're seated with Christ in heavenly places.
Yeah.
Well, you're seated means you're enthroned. And when you're enthroned, you're empowered. And when you're empowered, you're authorized to do things. So I've gone and made laws, and then I've used laws. So legislating is making or enacting laws. So I've made a number of laws in the last 3 months, and I've begun to use those laws to call people into their heavenly positions. Because God has a heavenly position for every single one of us.
Yes,
position of authority as a son, operating in lordship, kingship, sonship, chancellorship, judges, magistrates, legislators, oracles, priests, kings, scribes. I mean, there's a whole list of mantles that God wants to release to people. New positions of heavenly authority. basically, we're in a new era where the government of heaven, its judicial authority is being released to God's sons. And this is what God said. I'm releasing a new level of authority to my children. So call to the sons of men to come into their eternal positions, establish heavenly government on the earth. The call is for the Joshua generation to prepare for the harvest. So that's been my passion, really, for the last 3 months. If you're going to do this, relational authority is the key. We're not talking about setting up structures or hierarchies or old systems all over the earth. We're looking for relationships to form where those relationships of unity, of one heart and one mind and one purpose, establish government. Then that government begins to be released into the earth. So we need to be intimate with God to discern his voice. You have to be able to engage and see what that heavenly blueprint or vision is. Otherwise, you don't know what to build. You know, so God wants us to be able to do that. So the pathway of relationship is foundational for the responsibility that we have as sons. Everything must flow out of a place of rest and peace and joy and love in God. Which, I love that. You know, I spend more time in relationship than I do in responsibility. Because every minute I spend in relationship gives me more authority in responsibility.
Yes, Lord.
So it's important not to see responsibility as a replacement for relationship, but a consequence of it. Therefore, we must be priests before we can truly be kings, which is a really important thing to take note of. So there's a few scriptures that then describe what we're going to see happen. Isaiah 2:2. Now it will come about in the last days that the mountain of the house of the Lord. Now the mountain of the house of the Lord, a mountain is a place of authority. The house of the Lord is us. And his house, where we're all dwelling, so it's both that, will be established as chief of the mountains. So every other sphere of government in the whole of the created order will be under the mountain of the house of the Lord, which he is raising up and giving authority in these days. So it says, and it will be raised above all the hills. So this is a mountain. I mean, in our country, we don't really have what I would call really big mountains, not like Mount Everest or something, but we have sort of large hills, let's say. Everything in terms of government, which is in this world, will be like a hill compared to the mountain of God's government when it's lifted up.
Yes, Lord.
So God wants to see that. And what happens is all the nations will stream to it. Because the mountain of the house of the Lord will be a place of governmental authority, heavenly governmental authority, which people will see, and they will see the difference between every other authority, and when every other authority no longer has any authority, because it's collapsed, fallen, not working anymore, where do you think people are going to go? They're going to go to the mountain of the house of the Lord. And many people will come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the house of the Lord. So they're going to have to come into a new realm. To come into that place, because we're no longer be earthbound.
Yes.
So you have to come up into the mountain of the house of the Lord, because we are now operating in the realm of heaven. And everyone who comes to us, we're going to bring up into the same place, releasing people into their heavenly spiritual authority as sons of God. Yes. So that's what discipleship really is, bringing sonship to people, helping them engage with the Father, hearing God for themselves, and therefore finding their own fulfillment in life. Isaiah 61. Verse 1, arise, shine, your light has come. The glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Now we could say prophetically this spoke of Jesus coming and bringing the light into the world. But then who did he say was now going to be the light of the world? We are. So this is talking about what we need to do. The glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness will cover the earth and deep darkness the peoples. But the Lord will rise upon you and his glory will appear upon you. This is why we need to walk as sons of the light. So that the glory will be radiated from us and all sorts of wavelengths of light. You know, not just the visible, but all sorts of wavelengths from the very smallest to the very biggest wavelengths. So we start to radiate and release the frequencies of heaven into the earth. Because the wavelengths of heaven are way above anything that can be detected on the earth. I mean, it's great that we can detect certain things on cameras, like the angels that are buzzing around the room and things. It's awesome. But there are things that are beyond that, which we can't actually detect, but we can engage in our spirit. And as a result of this, same thing happens. The nations will come to the light, and the kings to the brightness of your rising. So all the earthly spheres who are all now trying to rule and establish their own mountains are going to collapse because they will not have the authority of the glory of God and the light of God on them. So people will see those who are radiating light and people who aren't. So it's really important that we become sons of light and we walk in that light and demonstrate that light because God's calling us to arise and shine. It's time we got out of the darkness and came into the light. Get out of the dungeon. You know, dungeons are dark, dingy, miserable places. You know, no point staying in the dungeon when God is saying, come out into the light and I'm going to put my light upon you and my glory will start shining from you. Yeah. And that's what God wants. He wants us to start being the light to the world. And what does that light point to? Not to us. To God, who is light. God is light, God is love, God is spirit. And he wants us to direct everyone to him. So we bring glory to him by who we are, and what we do is reflections and representations of that glory that will shine on us. So God is calling to a generation who've been through the wilderness years. Been there, done that, got the hat, t-shirt and everything else. You know, not going back. Yeah, not going back into the wilderness. I've crossed over. I'm living my life beyond the veil. Yeah, I'm not going to go back into the wilderness. So he's calling to the Joshua generation to arise and shine, to take our positions of heavenly authority and to start radiating that into the earth. So everyone needs to cross over and take possession of their inheritance. And their inheritance is not just physical. There's a spiritual dynamic of that inheritance which will actually enable the physical to take place. Without the kingdom established in heaven first, it cannot be established on the earth. Yeah, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, I was just taught that I was responsible for the stuff that went on the earth and he did all the stuff in heaven. And now he's told us to come beyond the veil and to start establishing our sons in the heavens so that that can be manifested in the earth when we have established it. Completely different frame of reference.
Yeah.
It's okay when we're children for our parents to do everything for us. But when we mature, we have to look after ourselves somewhat.
Yeah.
And God is actually a little bit fed up with us asking him to do everything that he's actually called us to do.
Yeah.
You know, and one day he actually said that to me. He actually said, I'm not doing any of this stuff for you anymore. I've empowered you to do it. We just need to take that responsibility and know who we are as God's children so we can do it. We need to be pioneers who occupy the land and restore it. There's a lot of explorers out there who are doing amazing exploring jobs in heaven, but not many of them are actually occupying the land and have a testimony of where it's outworked on the earth. We need to have that. We must be pioneers who take the land, not just those who have an experience and that's enough. The experience must bring change and transformation. It must bring restoration to the earth. You know, if a vision does not change the earth, then what use was it?
Oh,
God is calling us to bring restoration to everything. So we must be those who pioneer, take the possession of our inheritance as individuals and corporately, and then begin to manifest heaven on the earth through those places. And those places are not places that we are to defend. They're those places that we're to expand from. Because we're called to colonize the earth. God gave Adam and Eve a garden and told them to fill the earth with it. He's still giving us the same mandate today. So we must establish things like cities of refuge, habitations of God, gardens of God, storehouses. You know, I like to call them embassies of heaven on earth that will be storehouses because, you know, some when you say things like city of refuge, people have sometimes an old covenant view of it. Well, sometimes they have a very prepper view of it, but we're actually going to save all this stuff and get ready for the doom and gloom.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not getting ready for doom and gloom. I'm getting ready for light.
Right.
You know, the world might end up in some doom and gloom, but I'm not ending up there.
That's right.
God's people are called to live in the good land.
Yes.
Taste and see that God is good.
Yes.
The land is good.
Yeah.
You know, that's the whole point of seeing a good report of the land. It's a good land. It's flowing with milk and honey. Everything we need from heaven will be available for us on the earth through these places if we learn how to establish them.
Yeah.
So these places will be living in the overlap of heaven and earth. Now, sometimes we experience that when we get glimpses of it in worship and it's just like, well, where am I? I don't know whether I'm in heaven or on earth. It's like, it feels great though, you know, and we will be living in heaven's government on the earth, not the earth's government. We're not subject to the laws of earth because we have a higher law because we're operating in a different realm.
Yes.
You know, we're on thrones in heaven above the earth. Everything under that is under our feet, therefore under our authority as sons of God. So we need to live under that higher spiritual authority and the laws of heaven, not be subject to the laws of earth. Now that's going to change everything. Because everyone living outside a city of refuge will be subject to the laws of earth. So when we're living in peace, harmony, blessing and everything else, provision, health, wholeness, the supernatural, miraculous realm where everything's available to us, because we're living in a garden which is going to produce its fruit, so we live in constant fruit, and the world is in famine, where are they going to go? They're coming because they will see this is a good place to be. Which is why we must be a city on a hill and demonstrate in the light. So as a result of this, I started to legislate and start to call things into being. So these are some of the things I've been calling out. Now, when I do this, I have no idea what I'm going to say. You know, I just think I have a particular law and authority and mandate to do some things, and I use that to release that authority. So I journal everything. So I journal everything God says and I journal everything I say. So then I produce these things because these are the things I do when I go to my throne and do things in heaven. So I call into the region of the southwest for wells to be dug and the fire of heaven to be made ready. Let the heavenly call for governmental authority of the order of Melchizedek be answered. So who's going to answer it? I call for the mandates and blueprints to be prepared and released for the government of each area for new heavenly order, ecclesia and embassies of heaven to arise. So this is a sound which is going out, and I'm looking for people to start resonating with the sound, because this is what God is calling you to.
Yeah.
I call for the limitations to be removed and the eyes of the hearts to be opened to glimpse the reality of heavenly potential possibilities. Bit of a mouthful. But there is more than you can ever imagine or think that's in God's heart that he wants to release to us. The possibilities are limitless in God. We limit them because of our previous experience. God is wanting to remove the limitations of our mind and expand our consciousness so we can perceive true reality. Because we're not living in true reality. It's like we're living in the matrix, you know, plugged into a religious system which actually kept us from the truth. And actually sucked us dry for its own energy.
Yeah.
And God wants to empower us to be the light to the world. So there's so much more. I call for faith to arise and all the distractions of the enemy to be exposed.
Yes, Lord.
I call for the priorities of heaven to envision the hearts of men and women to be drawn to their eternal destiny.
Yes. Yes.
Let the maps of men be redrawn from the perspectives of heaven.
Yes, Lord.
You know, and that may mean some of your nationalistic views of things may need to change to have a heavenly perspective.
Yeah.
You know, some people look at where they live and it's like, well, this must be God's own country because I'm there. Well, there's a reality where I can bring that. But in a sense, we have to be open to see what God's perspective is so that we can bring God's perspective to bring change to the things that are natural on the earth. So let new boundary stones be set in place, the foundations of the perimeter for the southwest to be established. Now, I can see some boundary stones here, so I'm really excited. Now, I call for beyond the veil to be the dawn of a new day.
Yes, Lord.
It's like a new day is dawning. Yes, you know, it always seems to be the darkest time just before the dawn breaks.
Yeah.
You know, so we've been through some dark times, but now we can engage in a whole new realm that's like the dawning of a whole new day. I call for the glory of heaven to cause the rising and shining of a new order.
Oh, yes.
I call for the light of a new dawn to break forth with the frequency of heaven's sound resonating between heaven and earth.
Yes, Lord.
I call for the alignment of the royal priesthood of heaven to release the oracles and legislation to be the foundations of earthly government.
Oh.
Let your kingdom come, let your will be done on earth as is in heaven.
Yes, Lord.
So I've been praying that for a while and legislating it and speaking it out and calling it.
Yes.
So it's really great when you come and start to see something take place. So I've been blessed to be here with you, and I've been blessed to talk to some of you and sit down with you, and how you're being drawn to engage in this stuff and accept the responsibility as sons to establish these embassies, to establish heavenly government, to start to release those perimeters, to start to release those areas. I mean, it's great. You know, we're on the brink of something new. Now, it isn't going to change overnight. Sorry, Cheryl, it's not going to change overnight. Patience. I release the spirit of patience. Because, you know, whenever we think the time scale is, you can usually multiply it by 4 and you'll be somewhere closer. Because we have to learn how to do this, and we have to create a sound and be a sound that starts to create the atmosphere where people can engage this. The whole atmosphere out there is not that pleasant. So we have to start changing it. We have to start resonating with a new frequency of heaven and release it into the earth, which creates the environment where people will get a good report of heaven and begin to engage themselves. So what I saw the maps of men being reshaped by the frequency of heaven's call. And that means some people need to move to other places. You know? Because God may not have you right now where you need to be. Now, only God can tell you where you need to be. You know, only God can show, but he will show you. Honest, I shared this over the meal earlier. When Jacob engaged an open heaven, and he engaged the ladder going up to heaven, and that wonderful place called Bethel, the house of God, the gateway of heaven, God then told him to live there. Once he had got his wife and come out from Laban and all that sort of stuff, God told him to live in Bethel, living under an open heaven, living under the presence of the angelic realm. He was a herdsman who had many herds of animals, and Bethel is a more mountainous area, and he chose to settle where there was pasture, and he missed his inheritance. And his whole family problems and everything else, which ended up in 430 years of slavery, would have never happened if he had stayed in Bethel. Because Bethel is the promised land. He would have inhabited the promised land under God's heaven and established it. There would have been no giants in the promised land as there were, because they would have already dealt with all that stuff, because they lived under an open heaven. Heaven brought the angelic armies and the host of heaven to deal with that stuff. In the end, they had to deal with it because they weren't living in the right place. Your destiny may be tied to a place. Make sure you're in the right place. Seriously, ask God where you should be to fulfill your destiny. Because if you're in the wrong place, God is gracious and merciful, and he may still bless you and you'll still have a good life, but you may not have the fulfillment of the destiny that God's calling you to have. So be open and be ready for that, because God is wanting to shape things according to heaven and not earth. Anyway, so I started to see the map of the Southwest with heaven's government established around it, which was good. I started to see pillars of fire being connected to form a canopy of fire over God's region. Because remember, it was like those wells are going to be dug.
Yeah.
And mostly they're going to be new wells. Only a few will be undug, because people do not want to let things be unblocked. So those new wells, they're not like water wells. They're like oil wells. And what happens when you put fire to an oil well? You get a pillar of fire. And it says in Zechariah that we will have walls of fire around us. And when we start to connect up with other pillars of fire all over, because this is what I started to see connecting, you will start to see a canopy of fire which covers us with fire and purifies the atmosphere of the earth. And we will start to live under a purified atmosphere, which will bring such change onto the earth, because we will start to establish in the heavens the correct principalities and powers and rulers and thrones. Because the ones in there in the moment are coming from the other side. But principalities are just territorial spirits. We just want the right ones there, which we need to assign. Because there are territorial spirits that God has assigned as prince warring angels over regions that we need to connect and see them in the atmosphere ruling. There are thrones in the atmosphere that need to be ruled in. You know, there are all these things that we have to start administrating from above. The problem is, everyone has tried administrating and dealing with spiritual warfare from below.
Yeah.
There is no spiritual warfare. We've already won.
Yeah.
We have to get judicial authority from above and the mandates and strategies of heaven and administrate them down, because the enemy is then under our feet, and we can assign angels to clear the atmosphere.
Yeah.
So many people have got beaten up by trying to do spiritual warfare under things. I mean, Robert Henderson tells the story of two women who tried to take on the spirit of New York. You know, they end up dying. Two ladies in their teenage, I think in their 20s, died of the same cancer in the same year because they tried to take on something that they were not authorized to do from below.
Yeah.
We need to learn a new way of bringing and administrating heaven, and it's a governmental, judicial way. I'm not fighting with the enemy. Why would I fight with someone who's already defeated? I just put him under my feet. And when I put him under my feet, I administrate that into the earth. Totally different system of how we deal with things when we're operating from a heavenly position of sonship.
Yeah.
You know, let's be those who operate above. So we want to see these pillars of fire established.
Yes.
I started to see scrolls coming out of heaven, carried by the prince warring angels of regions, and he was handing the scrolls into the southwest region to the angels of the cities of refuge. So every city of refuge will have angels that are given by regional angelic forces to have the mandates to establish that, and they're waiting for people to receive those scrolls from them, who will accept the responsibility and say, yeah, here am I, send me. Yeah, I'll take one of those scrolls, I'll establish one of those cities, embassies of heaven, you know, because they're there waiting for people to receive them. You know, I saw it in the heavens, you know, I saw angels of those new order ecclesias calling out, saying, who will receive one of these scrolls?
Yes, Lord.
You know, who's going to receive a new mantle? Who's going to receive the authority of heaven?
Yes, Lord.
Because it's there waiting for men and women to rise up and say, we will.
Yes.
Who have willing hearts to accept their destiny. It's your destiny to rule.
Yeah.
It's your destiny to subdue and overcome and establish heaven on the earth.
Yes.
It's your mandate. Accept it and actually take that things. Because there are portals opening over this region, over the whole southwest region, which are portals which have mountains of creativity. Creativity is something about this region that God has for this region to bring creativity in a whole new way. So you're not going to do things as they've been done before.
Yes.
You're going to do things in new ways.
Yes.
With new revelation, fresh revelation,
yes.
New creativity, new insight, new wisdom, even new inventions. So many new things that are coming, discoveries that are coming out of heaven, brought out of darkness into light. That's what God is doing. He wants to open those portals.
Yes.
Now, the enemy also wants to open some portals. There is a portal over Mount Graham here that has a telescope on it, which actually is one of the telescopes is from the Vatican. And actually, they've been designing to open a portal and invite some things through, which you do not want coming into this area, which is why that angel is guarding that portal.
That's right.
Hallelujah.
So there are good portals, which we need to administrate, and there are others that are not bad, but they can be opened negatively if we're not careful. And we have to be really careful about that. Back in November, God spoke to me on November the 7th, I think it was. He said to me, that there are portals that are being prepared for interdimensional incursions. Send guardian angels to protect the West Gate. So, as I do, it's like, okay, I'll do that. So I assigned some central angels to go and stand on the West Gate to guard that gate to make sure it wasn't open. I mean, that's it. I didn't think any more about it. And then, you know, end of November, I think it was November the 28th, you know, I had all this stuff online about this website that had been set up, openthewestgate.com. You had certain people who were calling online conferences. They started to call for the opening of the West Gate. And they were inviting entities through that gate to come and tamper with our DNA and other stuff. And there were a lot of gullible Christians who bought into it. And it's like, fortunately, there are people in the heavens who responded to say, I mean, I didn't know what I was doing. I just did what I was told. And it's like, but that gate has not been opened. The two previous times it was opened, it was not a positive thing that came through.
Yeah.
I mean, I might talk a little bit more about that tomorrow if we get into some legislative stuff. But there are portals here. Make sure you administrate their opening in the right way. So I started to see heavenly mountains in the realms of heaven with thrones, people being invested with authority to open the everlasting doors, so that the glory of God starts to get poured out, so we have these pillars of fire with glory filling them. Because when it says in Zechariah about the walls of fire, it says the glory of God is in the midst. That's what we're going to see in a city of refuge or an embassy, the glory of God in the midst. And that glory is going to be radiating through us because we're gateways of heaven into the earth. It's not just a thing of like, oh, we're having more revival meetings. It's God's presence through us, which is going to be a whole different realm of glory, a restoration to things that were here before the fall. So I started to sort of call for the Joshua generation, the Enoch, Daniel, Joseph generation to rise, take the heavenly places, prepare for the harvest by establishing these storehouses. Yeah, so I started to call for blueprints of heaven scrolls. The house of scrolls in heaven has so many scrolls that there are legions of angels waiting with these scrolls to be released. And they are coming with new legislative governmental authority to establish these things on the earth. I mean, I've been in some of those houses and I got to align some of those houses and that scroll house is ready, open. We just need to start reaching out to receive what it wants to release. You know, there's such an important thing about aligning the 12 Chancellor's houses. I started to align the 12 Chancellor's houses for the Southwest. You know, and it's really weird because it's like, I'm an English person. I mean, it's like, but then there's nothing, doesn't really matter in the realms of heaven. I'm a son of God and I want to bless everywhere. So, you know, so it's not about where I live. It's about what's in my heart. Now, when I received that map of the four, I put that in my heart. I carry that in my heart. You only have any sort of authority for that which you carry in your heart.
Yeah.
You cultivate the desire, which is why I've been calling it all these things. It's an outworking of my desire to see the blessing of God released into the Southwest, you know, and into the Northwest, and to the Northeast, and to the South, and the whole of the nation, and every other nation that's going to be replicated by that pattern, even my own nation. You know, it's like I'm looking to see the government of God established in the Southwest because I live in the Southwest of the US, in the UK. You know, so I have an affinity with the Southwest because I live there. But actually, in this nation, this comes first because God said what happens here is going to be established here first before it happens in the rest of the world. So you're blessed.
Yeah.
You're also challenged and responsible. So I started to call for the precepts and statutes and the laws of heaven to release the ordinances of heaven, which bring new mantles and weapons and scrolls and discoveries from heaven to be made ready in preparation for what needs to be done on the earth. And ordinances are the alignment of those things that God has in his heavenly host to bring things into place. So it's like, you know, the ordnance corps in the army is those that build all the bridges and they do all that stuff and they have all this. Heaven has a whole host of armies ready and are called for us to be involved with them. They're being made ready. There are new mantles for these heavenly roles that are being released. And there are weapons. And when I saw the weapons room of heaven, I was expecting something really different. It's like it's filled with love bombs. And that's all I can describe them. They're love bombs and mercy bombs and grace bombs ready to be poured out onto the earth. You know, when you think of weapons, you may think of swords and spears. It's like God's weapons are so different. Now, they're weapons of love, you know, and we're going to see them explode onto the earth. Yeah? And we will actually start to legislate where those things are going to be exploding, which is pretty good. So I started to see these legions of angels being released into the Southwest of the U.S. It's like there were particular targets that I saw, San Diego, Los Angeles, San Francisco, Palm Springs, Phoenix, some other places that would fill in the gaps, but they're ready. And they're just looking for people to say, come here. Come and release your scrolls here. You know, those things are waiting to be received. The angels, you know, this is a landing place for angels, so you should have no problem receiving those legions to come. You know, but you need that in other places. You know, there's Palm Springs represented here. Boom. You know, I've been to San Diego. It's like the house I stayed, the guy had a vision and as a mantle and mandate for us, a house, an embassy of heaven. So when I started to, and he shared this vision with lots of people, and I just look at it. What? He shared it with me and I was just like, yes. It's like, so I totally affirmed him because no one had affirmed him. And it's just like, so when I started teaching Embers of Heaven, he was like there. I could see his mind going round. It was just like, and now he can go and take that and start outworking it. But he'll connect up with people here and he'll connect up with people in some of these other places so you can support and encourage each other. You're not on your own in all this. God is establishing something in the region governmentally so it can support things in every area, every state, every city, every place where God is calling a city of refuge.
Yes.
There's going to be heavenly relationship that enables you to outwork things on the earth. So there's a target that God has right now, and it's for the hearts of those who are in the wilderness. You know, most people here are forerunners. You know, you've already crossed into something. You already have tasted that it's good. You're giving a good report. But there's a whole load of people who need to hear. There's a whole load of people who are in the wilderness who know there's got to be more than this. They just don't know what it is.
Yeah.
And we need to give them a good report.
Yeah.
We need to send those angels with those weapons to target the dissatisfied, the disillusioned, the hopeless, and the disparate.
Yeah.
Those who are comfortable in the wilderness aren't going to be bothered. But there's those who are actually getting a little bit fed up with being covered up by other people's vision.
Yes, Lord.
You know, they know there's something more, they just don't know what it is. We need to start targeting them. The angels will start releasing that. We're going to start to see those weapons touch their lives. See, God is going to start visiting them in dreams and visions. I believe they're going to be Emmaus Roads encounters where Jesus comes and visits them and reveals the true Jesus to them. Reveals who they are as his sons, as his children, as those who are those called from heaven. We're going to start to see it, but those who've already crossed and who are engaging in heaven start to have to administrate these things, which is why I've got such a passion for those who are in the wilderness. You know, 2 years ago, before I really started to engage with God, I was just annoyed with them. You know, I was just frustrated. Well, why don't you get this? It's so simple. It's like, why don't you get it? You know, but now I just love them. And I really, really, really call into them. You know, I have a law which says a law of religious freedom. And I'm using that law to legislate, to bring people out of the bondage they're in to religion and bring them into the truth and freedom of the promised land of their inheritance. So we need to see those targets released. Those love bonds of new hope, vision, experiences of heaven being released. Angelic visitation. You know, we need to see it, and it won't happen unless we target them, because they're waiting for us to direct them where to go. So you need to start calling to come into your cities, calling to come into the wilderness of the religious systems that are in this area and other areas, so you begin to target them, because you love them, and you want them to become part of the Joshua generation.
Yeah.
You know, we can't do it on our own. We need more and more people. So let's start reaching out. So I started to call forth the boundary stones for the perimeter of the U.S. to be established so that there will be government in this Southwest. That's so important. I want to see benches of heavenly authority. I really want to see these new order ecclesias established. The embassies of heaven really outworked. You know, so those blueprints are there. Let's start to see them land, because we don't want them staying in heaven. We want them outworked into the earth. So, you know, some of the things you do when you start engaging with the four faces of God, you do some strange things. So I started to call for the lion to roar. When I started to do this, I started to step into the four faces and I started to roar. So I started to make this sound. It was just like, because I was stirred in my spirit to call out with a sound, you know, for governmental order. I started to see the eagle and see it soar to bring legislative authority. Start to see these bigger pictures and the maps of heaven, so we have revelation of it. You know, calling for the oracles of heaven to be released, the word of God's heart, not just prophecy that comes on the earth, because that's prophesying in part. We've done that.
Yeah.
You know, it's good, but it's to comfort and it's to bring edification. We want heavenly, eternal oracles of God's purposes to be released so that we can come together in the same spirit, because that spirit that comes with that word will start to stir us and join us together, one heart, one mind, one purpose. So I actually started to call into the evangelical streams. Oh, I guess this is a bit of a dangerous thing, but I felt the authority to do so. So I started to call into those streams, what we were talking about this afternoon, that they would hear the true oracles and word of heaven and start to experience the true living word of God. So I'm really believing if we start to administrate these things, the word of God will become alive to those, to at the moment, it's just a religious dead letter. So the life is going to come from it, and that life is going to birth a whole fresh revelation of the possibilities for God.
Yes.
You know? Then I started to call into the charismatic streams to experience the true and full expression of the Spirit of God, not just what we've had on earth. You know, as good as that might be, and as great as it might be, there's so much more to engaging the Holy Spirit when you start to engage in the spiritual realms of heaven than what we've experienced on the earth. Then I started to call for the evangelical and the charismatic to join with the orthodox and to become true unity in the whole unison of the order of Melchizedek. Because I want to see change. Yeah, you know, I don't want to see all these religious structures on the earth restricting people. I want to see them shaken,
yes, Lord,
so that truth can come and they can be drawn out and come together in a whole new man.
Yes, Lord.
You know, God wants to do it. He wants to change and transform. So I'm really calling for the streams of men to become joined to the river of life. There's too many of these things. Well, I'm of this stream and I'm that stream and I'm the other stream. There's only one river. One stream, one river, let's see it become a torrent and a flow and a flood. So I'm calling for that. You know, we want to see the glory of God released through that river into the earth. So, oh, it's good stuff, this. Yeah. I haven't even got on to the message yet. But, So then God said this, son, God always calls me son. You know, I know when he's calling me son, he's got something to talk to me about his father. So he says, son, come and stand in the Council of 70 as an ambassador. So I've got a role in the Council of 70 in the realms of the heaven of heavens to be an ambassador for the Joshua generation. That's my role there.
Yeah.
You know, I have that to stand and represent the Joshua generation in that place so that I can influence them to start making decisions which will bring these things into place. So I love doing that. You know, I presented a court case to them last year for the whole council. You know, it took me the whole year. You know, God, one of those Jehovah sneaky things, said, you know, I want you to do this case. So it's like, okay, it took me 18 months to learn how to prepare this case. I eventually get to prepare it, and it's like, I mean, it's like, and he gave it very specific. He said, you know, spend 35 days preparing this case before the court, express it on day 35, and then 35 days administrating it. So it's for judgment. Judgment on the old order to release justice so we'll see the new order come forth. So it's like I did that. And then he said, now I want you to do another case for judgment, justice, another case for grace, another case for mercy. So in the end, I spent the whole year administrating in the court of 70, preparing cases, administrating cases, then starting to use the authority of the verdicts that were given to administrate judgment, justice, grace, and mercy. Now we're in a cycle where those things are beginning to cycle round. So this year, we're in a position of justice. Justice is the outworking of the verdict that was passed last year, which was the end of the old and the beginning of the new. So justice is you're going to start to see the authority of the old begin to wane. God has removed it. You're going to find that the old systems are going to start to become more rigid, legalistic, controlling, because the authority that God had with them has been removed. So don't be surprised to see some of the streams and some of the things become to tighten things up, because they're going to have to operate in earthly authority without the heavenly backup, which is what happens, then more rigidity comes in. And it's happening. You know, I'm sort of privileged to hear some of the things that go on, and I can see it. And it's part of what will take place. Then people will start to see it's not good to be covered by this stuff. It's not good. I'm getting more and more restricted. They're becoming more and more legalistic. They're giving more and more rules. They're telling me I have to believe more and more what they're saying. Where God wants us to engage him personally without having to go through what someone else tells us. You know, true leadership lifts people up. It doesn't put people down or sit on top of them. It just doesn't. So we need to start to see this. So God said, set the boundary stones for the southwest of the US and the UK for the perimeter that will form the environment for the Joshua generation to arise and occupy as pioneers. Set the boundary stones in place for the area to call forth the benches and the local blueprints to be established. So when there's government in a region, local government can begin to take place. And we're going to start to see that. So I start to call forth for those who will be the sounds. And I believe here you are people who are carrying a sound.
Yeah.
You're going to be a sound for your area,
yes,
for your city, for your region, for your nation. You are going to be releasing a sound that's going to cause people to start to vibrate at a new frequency, and they're going to be drawn to that sound. You know, so you have to be that sound. You know, you have to release that sound, and God is going to use that sound to draw more and more people out of the old into the new. So I call for those people to be strongly planted in identity and heavenly authority. To be a SAD, you need to know who you are, you need to know what your position is, and you need to use that position in authority.
Yes.
Three things working together: identity, position, and authority. So I call forth for the governments of San Diego, Los Angeles, and Phoenix, because that's where I've come. But actually, all the people who are here and all the people who are in San Diego, people came from, Terry came from into San Diego, people from Los Angeles came into San Diego, other people came into San Diego, and it's like they heard the same sound. So then they take that sound and they go out. You know, when I went to Los Angeles, people came from all over. Come here, the people here from all over. You know, you come from Denver and Tucson and, you know, all the other places you're from, Oklahoma. Praise God, folks. Yeah. It's like God is releasing the government of heaven to be established in the places where the sound is heard. So if you resonate with that sound, be willing to establish God's government where you live. So I started to call forth for those who will establish the embassy of heaven on the perimeters, northwest to southwest, southwest to southeast, southeast to northeast, northeast to northwest. So we form the whole perimeter, which gives us the government to establish the whole of the center. Let's do it.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
So I release the blue light call. I share my testimony of releasing blue light calls. It's like, it's so funny. Someone sort of says, well, how do you do this stuff? It's like, you know, when Jesus came and said, I want you to release a blue light call, what did I do? I said, I release a blue light call. That's it. You know, I sensed something when I did it. I sensed I have a crown with 12 different stones and colors, and one of the blue ones seemed to radiate, and I felt something. But all I did was I released a blue light call. You know, and then people started to experience blue light calls calling to government. So I do it regularly. You know, I release a blue light call for the boundary stones to receive their scrolls and mandates.
Yes, Lord.
Some of you are boundary stones. You're places that set the boundary and the perimeter that gives a safe environment for God to move in between. So I start to release the ordinances of heaven to engage by encounter in dreams and visions and visitations. You know, it's like God is going to give you much, much more in your encounters that's going to bring you into more into the realms of heaven and open up realms for you. So I call for the judgments to be delivered, to deliver justice for the new order. Justice is you get your authority because the mantle has been passed from Moses to Joshua.
That's right. Yeah.
So now you can take up that mantle. You know, the great thing about precedence is whenever a mantle was released, you get double portion. So it's like Elijah released his mantle and Elisha got a double portion. So when Moses releases his mantle and that whole generation, which I honor, I mean, I've been so blessed by the Moses generation. They've helped me get where I am on my journey.
That's
I mean,
right.
I honor them.
That's right.
I bless them. It's just they've come up to the promised land and now they're giving a bad report.
Yeah.
And they don't want people to cross. But I honor them for what they do.
Yes.
And I love the church. I love what people have done. It's just now they've stopped. God is now saying, okay, your mantle's being now passed to another generation, but actually receive it in precedent as I want a double portion. You know, whatever they did in the past, I want double at least. You know, let's go for more than double. You know, it's like there's a good scripture in the Old Testament that says we can have a thousandfold increase.
Yeah.
Let's go for that one.
Yeah.
You know. So I call for the blueprint for the Southwest to come forth and the governmental strategies to be released.
Yes.
Even while we were sitting here today, governmental strategies are being released.
Yes.
You know, as we're talking, heaven's government is being released. You know, God will give you the strategy for what you need in your particular situation and area to outwork your purpose. And all of them will be different. Every blueprint for every city of refuge or embassy heaven will look different from every other one.
Yeah.
And so should it be. Because we're not clones. We're every area has a redemptive purpose. Every area has different things that God has given you. Every area, everything has seven mountains of authority, and they're all different. You know, I don't know what yours are. I know what ours are because we're functioning in them. But you need to seek the blueprint that will give you the spheres of government that you're called to operate in. Because that gives you the authority to begin to administrate that into the earth. You know, for us, our governmental authority in our local area is to minister to those who are the poor and the disadvantaged and the addicted and the broken. You know, Isaiah 61 is our inheritance. That's what we do. But not everyone does that, and not everyone should try and do that. You need to do what you're called to do.
Yeah.
And when you do that, you have authority, and you'll begin to administrate that. Because every mountain has seven other mountains around it, because everything just multiplies like it does in heaven. So if you have a health mountain, you'll have seven ways health can be administrated. You know, if you have a freedom mountain like we do, you have seven ways freedom can be administrated. You know, if you have a mountain for particular things, maybe youth or children or whatever it might be, God will give you the strategy and all you need to establish that. So long as you have a heavenly blueprint, not an earthly one.
Yeah.
So I want to see the revelation of the wells, of those wells of fire unveiled.
Yes,
you know, we want to see those wells. You know, if you need to see a new well dug, dig it. You know, actually dig a new well. How do you dig a new well? You get a mandate to do it, and you say, here we're establishing this a mandate. We're going to create a place where the foundations of heaven, because you dig to place foundations. That's what happens. When you place a foundation, from that foundation, everything can be established. God wants to establish those foundations on the earth. So I want to see those walls of fire, pillars of fire established. So, this is where I got to my message, but I'll do it tomorrow. So we are the embassies of heaven, sons of the kingdom, to colonize this world. That's what we're called to do. Genesis 1:28 is our mandate. Now, I got stuck in this verse in San Diego, and I preached on this verse for an hour and a half. I can't do that tonight. But I'm going to say, you are blessed. God has blessed you. He's empowered you to succeed and prosper to the highest level. He said to you, and listen to him speaking this to you right now. God says to you, be fruitful. Fruitfulness is fulfilling your destiny.
Yes.
Whatever God's called you to do, he has blessed you, empowered you to be fruitful in it. That means you produce fruit that other people can eat. Because the fruit, what is the fruit for? It's for people to eat, and the seeds in that fruit is to establish new trees. You know, the fruit really isn't for us to have nice fruit to eat. It's actually the seeds in it to produce new trees. So when we are fruitful, other people are discipled to be their own trees. Oaks of righteousness planted by streams of living water, whose leaves never wither and fruit never fails, and who prosper in everything they do. So when we succeed and are fruitful, we bless other people to be fruitful and to prosper, because we give it away. Freely we've received, freely give. That's what fruitfulness is. We're giving away the fruit to produce new trees and to multiply. You know, God wants us to multiply, to increase, to actually disciple people and people and people. You know, we can have wonderful revivals on the earth like it's been before, and it won't fill the earth. If you reach one person each year, and they reach one person each year, and they reach one person each year, and you go on, in 32 years you can reach the whole world. That's what multiplication is. You have to give away to others, so they give away to others and give away to others. If you keep doing that, we will fill the earth with the glory of God.
Yes, Lord.
But the problem is, we see it as, well, God will open up the heavens and just do something, and we'll just sit and watch. You know, because that's the history of it. Well, we just see heaven open and God does it. That's ended.
Yeah.
We have to do it, but we're empowered to do it. We're blessed to do it. And then we can start filling the earth. Actually, as each of us fills our sphere of government, all the spheres that we've been given, the whole earth will be filled with the glory of God. Because God's glory will come through us as a gateway. And as we fill our spheres with heaven's government, the earth will be filled with heaven's government. So each individual is responsible to do what God's calling you to do. And when we come together with corporate blueprints to establish embassies of heaven, then we multiply that. Because one can put 1,000 to flight, but 2, 10,000.
Yeah.
So 3, 100,000. So it's exponential when we come together in unity, in agreement, which is why it's so important to get a bench of three.
Yeah.
Who are in unity together, because you have exponential foundational government that releases people into the blessing of God. And then they can do the same. But we have to subdue it. There are opposition that we have to rule, which is why we must rule from heaven, not try and do it on the earth. We don't fight going to and fro, fighting with the enemy. The only thing we do in this realm is a bit of hand-to-hand combat when we deal with some demons that might be in people. But actually, even that stuff is so much easier now than it used to be. Yeah. You know, we don't get any manifestations of deliverance like there used to be, or screaming and all this stuff that just disrupted everything.
Yeah.
It's like we have the authority and they go.
Yeah.
And when the person has the authority, they go. You know, so actually we teach people to deliver themselves so they're not dependent on somebody else. By using the court system of heaven and light busing and other things, so you know who you are, cleanse everything from the inside out so that you can change. But we will have to subdue and overcome the atmosphere of the earth from above by engaging the angelic realm. That's why engaging the angelic realm is so important, because their role is to deal with the atmosphere. And you get that in Daniel. Daniel was praying, and there was this warfare in the air, in the atmosphere, where the answer was being stopped, and so God sent some support into the atmosphere to deal with what was blocking, and then the answer came. So we need to assign those into the atmosphere that should be doing it. I wouldn't encourage you to go in the atmosphere and do it yourself. You know, it's like, that's what angels are for. They're ministering spirits on behalf of those who are heirs of salvation. So why not use them? They're there waiting. I mean, Ian Clayton says most of them are bored, simply because we've never engaged with them and assigned them to the things they're called to do. They want to be active. They have roles. God's given them purposes. They are the ordinances of heaven. Let's start assigning the ordinances of heaven to outwork it on the earth. And we have to rule. If we don't rule, there is no government. If we don't rule, there's no legislation. If we don't rule, there's no kingdom. Because the kingdom is about the rule and reign of God through his people as co-heirs to establish heaven on the earth. So we must learn how to legislate and rule. You know, I have sessions and sessions on legislation because it's something dear to my heart. But we need to learn to be sons of God, taking our positions of thrones in the heavens, seated with Christ in heavenly places, getting daily mandates, using those mandates to frame and order our lives to bring heaven onto earth through us as a gateway, and expand the territory that we fill so that the kingdom of God, flowing like rivers of living water, can flow through us and touch the earth, bringing life wherever it goes. Because we should be life bearers. Ezekiel 47, you know, let's not settle for a trickle coming under the threshold. Let's open that first love gate, invite the river of life in, so it becomes ankle deep, knee deep, waist deep, until it's a flowing torrent, which will even turn salt water fresh, bringing life wherever it goes. So we should be life bearers wherever we go, because the rivers of living water are flowing through us, through the garden of our heart, so that we can water the earth with the glory of God flowing out of heaven into the earth, so we can actually make earth like heaven. That's what an embassy will be, like on heaven on earth. I'll finish there, then I'll go into what it actually looks like tomorrow. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Amen.